And we're going to be looking in Romans chapter 12. If you're using that Bible there in front of you in the pew, it's page 149 in the New Testament portion of that Bible, Romans 12. And verses 1 and 2, we'll read both of these, but we're going to primarily focus on verse 2. We looked at verse 1 at the early part of December, and then we've taken a little bit of a break. But chapter 12 of Romans is the practical, the application of all that has preceded, the truth of what Christ has done for us in salvation and the transformation that is made possible by Christ dying in our place for our sin, us having peace with God, being called justified. That's a wonderful word that means to be right with God, declared righteous. That means now something can take place in our lives that couldn't take place before. That there is now the way for you and for me who have trusted Christ, who have believed on Him, to now live in a way that we could not before, in a way that is transformed. And we are to remember that. We're to think correctly about what that transformed life looks like. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible says in Romans 12, 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now notice chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. You think you can hear that phrase enough? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye... Say the next word together. Let's say it one more time. But be ye... By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, would you help us to see this morning the truth from your word of what it means to not be conformed, but to be transformed, and to be examples of that transformation to others that they might see Christ and glorify you. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing our study in Romans 12, and the passage before us is very fitting for the conclusion of one year and the introduction of the next. Chapter 12, verse 2 really is a great help because we began this year as a theme, the will of God for me in 2023. And at the beginning of the year and throughout, we've had a number of messages, especially on Sunday nights, about the will of God and what it means to know the will of God. Tonight, we'll look at another message kind of reminding us of that idea of the will of God and thankfulness is part of God's will. But Romans 12, verse 2, brings up the will of God or the demonstrating or the proving or the showing and testing of what God wants being accomplished. And I think we'll learn some things this morning that are very important for us, not just as we look backwards, but as we look forward. Because there are things, no doubt, that this morning the Word of God and His Spirit will point out, I was conformed to the wrong thing this past year. Or, I lived in transformed way this past year. And in the coming year, I don't have to live this way, I can live this way. I don't have to live conformed to the world. I am transformed. If I am a believer in Christ and have trusted Him for salvation, I can live in a transformed way because of Christ. And I want you to know this morning, that's encouraging. Paul is not telling this church in Rome, these believers, you know what? This is impossible. You ever love it when someone gives you a task to do and it's impossible? Well, thanks for telling me. Now, what am I going to do about it? No, no. This is something that is totally possible for a believer to live in that we're going to see this morning because of who it is that does it. Because it's the working of God through Christ in us. And we're going to see that this morning. Now, I have already pointed out in chapter 12, verse 1, the last time we looked at this passage, that Christians are invited. Remember that, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies." That first verse is the idea of Christians are given an invitation to make a presentation of their lives as a sacrifice. Remember that idea of giving something totally, but doing so having a correct understanding. We looked at that in the past. That statement, "Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." We saw last time that we looked at this passage, I am not holy because I try to be holy. I'm not acceptable to God because of what I try to do. I am holy because of faith in Jesus Christ. I'm accepted because of faith in Jesus Christ. And because of my position in Christ, I can do that which God desires. That makes sense that I am now able to. Before I had Christ as my Savior, I could do nothing to please God. I could do nothing to please God. Without faith in Christ, I could do nothing. Do you recall what it was like in that position? For some of you, you might have been young. For some of you, though, it's been more recent that you've turned from, you know, I tried to do more good than I could bad, and I hoped God would like me if I did enough good. But you have to come to the place of realizing I can never do enough good in myself because all my good is not pleasing to God. I need Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1 pointed out to us that therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The way that you can have peace with God is through Jesus Christ, period. Can I say it again? You cannot have peace with God through your works. You cannot have peace with God through being a good person. You cannot have peace with God by going to church enough or giving enough. You can only have peace with God through Jesus Christ. That's the key. What have you done with Christ? Have you believed on Him? Well, to these people who have believed on Christ, they are holy, they are accepted, and it is reasonable for us in the position that we are in Christ to live for Him, to serve Him. And that's where chapter 12, verse 2 picks up. The central idea of verse 2 is this: believers are not to be molded by a carnal world. By the way, that carnal world is constantly trying to push on us, as we'll see. But we are to be living in a transformed spiritual way that demonstrates God's will is best. We're to be ones who live out transformation in such a way that people and ourselves and the body of Christ is always reminded of what is God's best. The Bible speaks of it as God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. That's what God's intent is for us, is to be living that out. Now, three facts this morning. If you're taking notes, you might jot these three things down. It'll be the outline this morning. Number one, we are moldable. We are moldable people. We are able to be pushed and squished in ways, and we're going to see that this morning from Scripture. Number two, if you've trusted Christ as Savior, we are transformed. We are transformed. And number three, we are to be examples. We are examples of something. We are examples. Number one, we are moldable. Look again at chapter 12, verse 2. "And be not conformed to this world." Conformation, that idea of squishing into something, making it like something else, pushing and pressure upon it. My dad worked in a factory for over 30 years in the town that I grew up, Logansport. And a town, the company was called General Tire to begin with. It changed names a number of times as it was bought out. But it was a company known for tires, but General Tire also made rubber products for suspensions and bushings and things to help on cars. And one of the things that he worked with was the presses that would mold different products. And they would call it injection molding. Now, he worked with the tooling that made the molds and all that that would go into it. But the idea is rubber would be squeezed through a very small area into a mold and then pressed into a form. And it would be pressed with an immense amount of pressure. In fact, plastic molds can sometimes have up to 10,000 pounds per square inch of pressure. That's a lot of pressure on a little area. Pressuring something into a form. You know, as a kid, did you do Play-Doh? How many of you played with Play-Doh as a kid? Or Silly Putty? That's back in my era, Silly Putty. you know, you take something and you squish it, and the force that's exerted on it makes something like what you intended for it to make if your Play-Doh was like mine. It wasn't as accurate as that mold that my dad would make things in or that they would make things in that factory. But it would look like something. Do you know the world is trying to force you and I? When it says the world, it's not talking about the globe. It's talking about the world system. The age that we live in is an evil age. It's an age that is against God. It is an age that is always fighting against what is true. That hasn't changed, by the way. In 2,000 years, do you know that there is a constant push against what is true? You're like, I knew it. I knew there was a dark conspiracy out there, that there are people who hold the strings of things. Yeah, and his name is Satan. He's the ruler in this world. You don't have to make up all kinds of stories about who's, you know, deep state. Sure, fine. But beyond that, there's a real conspiracy. If you want to know who it is, we have an enemy. And that enemy desires more than anything for people to not believe God. Don't let your eyes get caught up on all the political or financial things that are people are pulling strings and miss the fact that the ultimate thing that is trying to blind people is from who God is and what he wants. You know that the world wants to keep people from that truth, who God is and what he desires. What does God desire? What is his will? You know that God's desire and his will is that the world be redeemed from sin to him. That's why Christ died on the cross, so that man could be made right with him. You know, the world wants nothing more than for you and I to not help others see that truth about God. It wants to conform us to its mold. And what is its mold all about? Who is it worshiping? Self. This world is self-absorbed. It is proud. It is filled with arrogance. It is filled with a focus upon what will make me happy. It's ironic that we just looked at Ecclesiastes recently and we're considering this, but the vanity, the stuff that really doesn't matter in this world, that's all the stuff this world is pushing at us constantly. The world desires for us to be conformed to that, and it's trying to press us into that system. And the pressure is immense. You don't have to do anything to be pressured by this world. Did you know that? It's everywhere. It's going to be constantly a pushing force on you. And Paul knew that the church in Rome needed to be reminded of this, that there is a pressure that's going to be known by every single one of you. Sometimes those pressures are fears about how I'm going to take care of this or how I'm going to take care of that. By the way, can those fears sometimes overwhelm us? Well, Pastor, I live in a world. I've got to take care of my kids. I've got to take care of costs. I've got bills. Can that overwhelm you? Sure. Can the world, though, seek to pressure us so much that we be conformed to what is often called the rat race, where you're constantly trying to go somewhere, but you're not getting anywhere? This world is filled with that kind of life. They're going, 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 but not going anywhere. They're seeking for things, but they're not happy. They get them, but they're still not happy. You know, what'd you get for Christmas? Oh, I got this and this and this and this. Like, whoa! Are you excited? No, I really wanted this and this and this and this. Now, I'm not talking about kids. That's adults sometimes. We're just very self-absorbed. And that's the pressure of this world is all on us. It's all about you. Make you happy. That's the conforming pressures of this world. And we are moldable. Did you know that? The word conform that's used here has the idea or comes from a word, schema. It's the word that we get schematic from. You know what a schematic is? A plan or a form. And this age has a blueprint for you. It wants you to do what it does. It wants you to think like it thinks. It wants you to just follow along with us. And by the way, do you not see that in our culture today about all kinds of issues? That the world does not care what God says. It only cares about you conforming to what they think is right. And if you don't agree with what we think is right, you're a mean-spirited person. You are so hateful. Why don't you lighten up a little bit? Friend, the scheme of this world is about self-gratification. It's not about knowing God and doing what He desires. It's opposed to that. And it is a blueprint that is opposed to God. God, on the other hand, has a plan, and it's a timeless plan. It doesn't grow old in 2,000 years. The will of God that's spoken of here is not a will or a plan that has changed in 2,000 years. It's timeless. And God's will and this world's agenda are opposed to each other. The same word that's used here of conform is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lust in ignorance." That word, not fashioning yourselves, is the same word as being conformed. Don't conform yourselves according to your former lust. You used to live in this way. Don't live like this way. You aren't this anymore. You're something else. But you are moldable. Can I fashion myself or be molded by something that is not who I really am? Oh, yeah. You know, can a Colts fan wear a Green Bay Packers jersey? No, Pastor, there's no way he would ever do that, right? Well, can he, though, technically? Yes. Is he being honest with who he is? No. I'm not either a fan. I haven't watched football in a while. But if someone says that they are in love with one team, but they wear the jersey of another, are they fashioning themselves in a way that is what they say they are? No. You would say they're a what? A hypocrite. Interesting word to be used about sports. And by the way, people are hypocrites more than in churches and in Christianity. The world doesn't like to admit it, but it's hypocritical itself. It says it doesn't believe that you can have faith, but it has faith to believe that evolution took place. That's hypocritical. But anyways, we won't go into that. All of us sometimes pretend to be things that we are not. And a Christian has no place conforming himself to something that he was saved from. I was saved from the world. Why would I fashion myself like what I was saved from? And this is more than clothes. Although clothes, music, entertainment, all kinds of things can fit into the question of, am I more interested in looking like what this world system is, or am I more interested in conforming myself or being made like what I am, the transformed individual I am in Christ? This, though, is not about externals as much as it is first internals. Confirmation is not an outward thing first. It is an inward thing. The conformity that is being spoken of here, and that's why I say this series is on transformed thinking, because you will not act as you should if you do not first think as you should. And the Word of God is pointing out the conformity that is to not happen in your thinking. Are you conformed in your thinking to this world? Don't be conformed to this, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, 1 Peter says, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. In every part of your life's actions, be like the one who has called you. And is God holy? Let's try that again, church. Is God holy? Yes. Totally. Without any question. Now get this. According to Romans 12:1, are you? Remember 12:1 again of Romans? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now remember, who made you holy? You didn't. Christ did. His transformation of you from sinner to saint was His work, not yours. Not one person in here is holy because of themselves. So why does He say, as He which hath called you is holy, you be holy? Get this, because you can be holy in Christ. Not by your work, but by conforming to or by living in the new identity you have in Jesus Christ. The holiness that God desires of you is not, I'm trying to be a better person. It is actually surrender. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know what walking in the Spirit is? It is a, I'm not in charge of my next step. God is. The Holy Spirit is. You know why the Bible says, and I'm going to share this Wednesday night, so I'm preaching the message too early. But at the end of the fruits of the Spirit, you know what it says? Against such there is no law. Do you know that there is no need for law for the things that are produced by the Spirit of God in you? There's need for law for the things your flesh does. You can murder people when you act in your flesh. You can hate people. You can steal from people. You can take someone's wife, adultery, all kinds of stuff. Do you know that everything that you would produce as you're yielded to the Spirit, everything that He produces in you, I should say, there's no need for law because they only do good and help others. They only bring glory to God. There's no need for law in the things that are produced by the Spirit of God. Don't be conformed to this world. Everything you and I can do in our flesh still as believers is only going to harm you or harm others. And you need to get used to the reality of that. Your flesh only ever harms you and others. Don't live in your flesh. Don't be conformed to this world. You should not be conforming yourself to this age. Think what you really are. Recognize you are holy, so live in that holiness that He provides. We are to live in this. And verse 2 emphasizes that you don't have to be conformed. While it is true that you are moldable, you don't have to be conformed to this world. That's where the question is for us. There is an imperative in this verse. It is not, hey, you're automatically never going to be tempted to do this anymore. No, no. There's an imperative. It's actually a passive form here, which is interesting. You're not the one doing the work of being conformed. Something is pressing on you. But you don't have to give into that. In the same way, being transformed is something that is passively taking place. You're not the one that transforms. Christ is the one that transforms you. But you are to be in the position of the one who is transformed. This is what that means. Walking in the Spirit is a choice that you get the chance to make. Yielding to the flesh is a choice that you get to make. The works of the flesh do what they do. The works of the Spirit always do the right thing, though. You get to choose which one you're going to be molded into. Are you going to be molded into this world? Or are you going to be molded into that which is Christ-like? You have a choice. Which one are you going to pick? And I would ask you, as you go into 2024, which one do you think is going to be God's desire? Do you not know? Well, I don't know what God wants. I'll tell you one of the greatest secrets. If you don't know which one you're being molded by, ask God to show you. Who's pressing me? You, God, or this world? Do you think that's a prayer request God wouldn't answer? God wants you to be in the dark on this one. I don't think so, friend. I don't think so one bit. Not when He says, be not conformed to this world. Well, what is the world's influence? Well, you ask God that, and I will tell you something. Things are going to start popping into your brain. Oh, yeah, that is God's telling me not to be conformed to that, and that, and that, and that. You don't need me to give you the list. You need to talk to God, the Holy Spirit, in you, and He will point it out. When's the last time you said, Holy Spirit, show me what I'm conformed to that I shouldn't be? You're like, I don't pray much, Pastor. That's going to be a detriment. I mean this with all my heart, friend. If you're not communicating with the Lord, you're not going to know. If you're not opening His Word, you're not going to know. And you will be pushed and shoved and squished into a pressure point of mold that is not what God designs. You know that God wants you to open His Word and see what He says and allow your life to be conformed to His image, to be molded and shaped as you see Christ more. You'll be living more in the transformed life, which gets us to the second thing. Don't be molded and pressed into this world's age. But secondly, remember this fact, we are transformed. If you've believed on Jesus Christ to save you, you are a transformed individual. The word transformed in Romans 12, verse 2 means, as the word that we get metamorphosis from. You know what metamorphosis? Do you remember biology? yeah, the transformation of one thing into another form. Growing up in northern Indiana where we lived, we had a shed in our backyard with a security light on it. And in the summer times, there would be Luna moths. You know what Luna moths are? Those big green long tail moths on the side of that shed in the morning, because they would see the light and they would go and stick on the side of there. Now, before that moth became that beautiful green, pink, ornate decoration, not butterfly, moth that you see, what was it before that? A big, ugly caterpillar. And there's quite a change that goes between that caterpillar and the moth, right? That's a metamorphosis from one form into another form. Something happened. It transformed. It changed what it was. You know, that happened at salvation. The Bible talks about being born again. What does that mean, Pastor, being born again? It doesn't mean a person goes back inside their mom and gets born out again. No, no. It means you had a physical birth. That's why the Bible says born of water, that's a physical birth, and born of the Spirit, a spiritual birth. A spiritual birth is significant. Why? Because everyone's born of water. Everyone's born physically, friend. Everyone. You all started out that way. You were born physically. But something takes place spiritually when one believes on Jesus Christ alone. A spiritual change takes place. Where once all I could do is be focused on myself and serve sin. That's what Romans 6 talked about. Remember, being dead to sin, alive now to God. If you haven't read that, you might want to read Romans 6, where it talks about the fact that we were born, not just physically, but now born spiritually. That's a reality for the believer. A change has taken place. I now have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of me. That's what Romans 8 talked about. The Holy Spirit of God is now at work inside of me. That's special. Not only does that assure me that I am in right relationship to God, that I am His child, that I am forever sealed as His child, but it also means that I can now do things spiritually that I could not do before, that I can do things that please God that I could not do before. And I can only do them by His Spirit's power. I can't do them by trying harder in my flesh. I can only do them by His Spirit's power at work. We call this transformation the work of progressive sanctification. If you look over in 2 Corinthians 3:18, probably a couple pages to your right, you have 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3, and verse 18. At the end of that passage of 2 Corinthians 3, Paul, speaking of the work of the Spirit of the Lord, he says in verse 18 of chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, like a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." That idea of being changed there is that transformation. And you know that what is taking place in the life of a believer is a changing that is conforming more and more to the image of Jesus Christ until we are glorified, until the day that we are like Him after this life is over. There's a process of change, and He's the one that's doing it. Notice it says, by the Spirit of the Lord. You don't change yourself into being more like Christ. He is doing that in you. That's exciting. Transformation is something He is doing in our lives. And how, you might ask, are we being transformed? I don't feel any different. I didn't have this like zapping take place. Can I tell you, you're not going to feel a zap. It isn't a physical experience. You know where it takes place? We might say in your heart, but we mean where your thinking resides, where you operate from, your mind. In Romans 12, 2, it says, "But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." The renewing of my mind? Well, what's taking place in your thinking? What are you thinking about? How are you thinking? What's changed in your thinking since you got saved? And what is it God wants to change in your thinking? It's an internal thing before it is ever externally observed. An internal transformation that changes your actions from the inside out. You know, when we talk about walking in the Spirit, we're talking about depending upon Him for how I'm going to think about things. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Where do lusts take place? First, in your mind, in your heart, in your mind. Okay, so if I walk in the Spirit, that is a mental choice. Do you understand that? It is a faith choice to think on what He is able to do. I entrust my thinking to the Lord rather than to my flesh. Walk in the flesh, guess what? I do everything that my flesh desires. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what does walking in the Spirit produce? Well, remember Galatians 5 we've been looking at on Wednesday nights. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Okay. Will my thinking in the way that God's Spirit wants to enable me to think change how I act towards other people? Oh, you better believe it. Where once I was filled with anger about everything, now I have love. My flesh produces anger and malice and hatred. The Spirit of God produces love, long-suffering, peace. I can't produce those things. His Spirit does. And you who have trusted Christ are able to say, my mind needs to be thinking in the way of which I am now made. I'm transformed. I don't have to think this way like I used to. I can think in a new way. I can think in the way that He desires. But I have to yield myself to that. The renewing of your mind is a daily thing. Church, it's not like, okay, in 2023, on December 23rd or December 31st, I decided to renew my mind, and it's done, and I'm over. Now I'm always going to think in the right way. Now, just as much as there's a constant pressure on you to be conformed to this world, there needs to be a constant reminder that I am transformed. If I've trusted Christ, I do not have to think like I once did. I am able to please God in my thinking, which will then impact my actions. You are transformed. Walk in the Spirit. The battle is in our thinking. Ephesians 4:17 says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Can a Christian walk in the vanity of their mind? Oh, yes, they can. Remember, you can be moldable. Don't. Stop it. Don't be walking in the vanity of your mind. Later he says, but ye have not so learned Christ. You know, sometimes we got to remember what we first learned. Back to basics. You've been telling yourself 2 plus 2 equals 5 too long. You say, I don't believe 2 plus 2 is 5. Well, do you believe that you're a slave to your flesh? Let me give an example of this. I just can't help but be angry. That's not true. If you're a child of God, that's false. That's 2 plus 2 equals 5. I just can't help. I just love this movie.
I found this on the web.
There you go. Don't worry, we're not having AI teach in Sunday school or church. All right. I just can't. Okay. I'm telling you, church, we are pressed in our mind about things that is not true, that are not true. I just can't help but. I can't forgive them. I can't help but watch what I watch, and I know I shouldn't. I can't help but care about what they think about me. That's 2 plus 2 equals 5. What is true? Be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And notice the last part. Notice what it says in Romans 12, verse 2. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now this is the really cool part. Not only are we conformable, Not only are we transformed, but we are called to be examples. The word prove is the idea of showing what is real. It's the idea of making clear something, making it so that it's obvious. What is it to be obvious? What is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? You know what God's desire is? That my life be lived out in such a way that my mind's dependent upon the Holy Spirit to act in every way that I should. That I produce love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith, meekness, temperance. That my life live out Christ-likeness. That's what the will of God is. And by the way, all of that is good, acceptable, and perfect. There's nothing about that that's bad at all. My life is to live that out, that you may prove. Now, have you ever heard the expression, fake Christian? You know, there are no fake Christians. That expression I do not like. You are either a Christian by faith in Christ who is thinking correctly, I'm transformed, I'm not a slave to the world, or you're a Christian who has put faith in Christ but is not thinking correctly. You're conformed to this world. You say, well, what about the people who aren't really believers but say they are? They're not fake Christians. They're unbelievers. Okay? They're unbelievers. If you haven't trusted Christ alone to save you, you are against God and in your sin, and you need Christ. And without him, you will die and go to an eternity apart from God. That's what an unbeliever is. But a person who has believed on Christ is who Paul is talking to in Romans 12. And he's talking to a believer who is either in one of two positions. I am not seeing that I am not to be conformed to this. I'm still conformed to things I don't need to be. I've trusted Christ, but I'm still conformed to things that aren't to be molding me, pressing me, and pushing me. Or I can realize I'm a transformed person. And I would challenge each of you who have trusted Christ, do you realize you're transformed? If you're transformed, guess what you get to do? You get to be an example of that. You get to be the demonstration of that to others. Can I tell you, though, that you won't demonstrate that well? You won't prove it? And I don't mean prove it to impress me or prove it to impress someone else. The proving here is the testing of something in its actual effectiveness or usefulness. In both James chapter 2 and in this passage, neither one are talking about whether you're a real Christian or a fake Christian, whether you have real faith or fake faith. The only faith that impacts anyone else is the kind that's dependent upon the Holy Spirit to produce what you can't produce yourself. You know what? The kind of religion that is talked about in James that doesn't help anybody is the kind that says good things but does nothing. Who gets helped by that? Be warmed and filled, but you let the person that's needing clothes and food go by. Who gets helped by that? No one. Who gets glorified by that? God isn't. Okay, you would say, that's a fake. Well, it is. It's not real faith in the way that it ought to be, but it's not what you are in Christ. Can I tell you something? You are transformed if you've trusted Christ. Live like it. You are transformed if you are in Christ. Let it be seen out of your life. And how do I do that, Pastor? By the renewing of your mind. Your life ought to be so considering what God's design and plan is and living in submission to His Spirit, not your flesh, that you're constantly in a mindset that is producing love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance. The things that are being produced out of your life are exactly what the Spirit of God wants to produce. And guess what? When you're living out the fruit of the Spirit, who is exalted by that? God is, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, believers are not to be molded by a carnal world, but living out a transformed spiritual life that demonstrates God's will is best. You know what's best for your family? You know what's best for your marriage? What's best for your personal life? God's love flowing out of you. not selfish, carnal thinking about what you want. You know what's best for your life and others? When you demonstrate joy that comes because you've surrendered to the God who made you, rather than constantly saying, I don't know why this keeps happening. I don't know why everything keeps going wrong. I don't know why. I'm telling you, you're living in your flesh if you're constantly fighting against what's going on in your life, rather than saying, God, I don't know, but I trust you, and I'm trusting you to give me joy that I can't produce myself. I'm trusting you to give me peace that I can't bring to myself. I'm trusting you. That is walking in the Spirit. And that is the way that you will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's desire for us is to live in this way. Not to live in the way that was always harmful. Not to be conformed to this world. God's will is good. It's always beneficial for us and others. When you walk in the Spirit, when the things that are spiritual are played out in your life, that only helps other people, only, ever. It does not hurt them. It only helps them. It's good. It's acceptable. He produces it in us, so guess what? He's pleased by it. You won't disappoint God by letting His Spirit produce things out of you that He desires. You know, there are things that I can produce in my flesh that are not the will or desire of God. God did not design me to continue to live in my flesh. Am I opposing the will of God when I act fleshly? Yes or no? Yes! I am absolutely opposing what God did for me on the cross when I lived to my flesh. When I give in to my desires, when I give in to my thinking that is against other people in a way that is not pleasing God, I am living in opposition to the will of God. But when I surrender to His will, guess what? I prove what is good, and I prove what is acceptable, and I prove what is perfect. You know what perfect means? We often think of it as without sin and like always does what's right, and that would be somewhat the idea, but completeness. Completeness. You will not be happy apart from this. Period. I mean it, friend. You will not be happy. You can write it down, underline it. Pastor said, I won't be happy if I don't do the will of God and live in it. And I say do it. I think we often say do the will of God where we ought say surrender to the will of God. Let Him do His will out of us. It isn't you're working harder to do the will of God. It's yielding to it. I won't be happy apart from yielding to it. That's why sacrifice comes into this. Give up yourself to God. Yield to Him, and there is nothing better that you will find, nothing more satisfying. You don't, and guess what? Everything is miserable. You'll be lacking. You'll be irritated. You'll be, you know what? I'm never satisfied. To the person in here this morning that says, I'm like that. I'm never satisfied. Have you ever said, God, whatever you want to do with me, I'm yours, and I'm going to continually act that way. My life is yours. I don't belong to me. You bought me with a price. My mindset is I need to have my mind on you. I'm yours. And daily, continually, realize that's the position I'm to live in. You may have had the pressure and conforming of this mindset of the world on you, and you've not realized it. But this morning, the light bulb came on. Oh, whoa, I've been being pushed by this world a lot, more than I realized. And I don't have to be. I am transformed because I've trusted Christ. I need to think that way. And in thinking that way correctly, I'll let God do what He wants to do with my life. I'm not mine. I'm His. You know, it may be good for you this morning to just come in a little bit and say, Pastor, that's me. I've trusted Christ, but I want it to be known. I'm His. All of me. My thinking, I want it to be renewed in the way that pleases Him. I want to live in the way He wants me to live and think. I don't want to live in conformation to this world. You know, you may need to make the decision right there where you sit. I need to stop yielding to this flesh and this world and this idea that I can live carnal and it's okay. It's not. And it will never bring you happiness. Learn it early. Learn it early. Yield to Him today. You may be here this morning and have never trusted Christ as your Savior. And all that I've been talking about of being actually satisfied and being filled with joy is foreign to you because all you've ever known is trying hard to do more good than bad. Can I remind you this morning that faith in Jesus Christ is where this new life begins? It is turning from faith in ourselves. I'm trying hard. I'm going to be a good enough person. Saying, I can't. I am a sinner. I am not good. Christ alone can save me. I'm turning to Christ to save me. He died on the cross. He was God's perfect way for my sin to be paid for. I'm going to turn to Him alone and trust Him. Friend, He died, was buried, and rose again to pay for your sin, and you can trust Him to be saved and be saved today. And I'm going to encourage you, if you've not trusted Christ, in a moment you come and say, Pastor, that's me. I need Christ. I'm not saved. I need new life. That's where the beginning of fulfillment and joy and peace comes, is trusting Christ and not yourself. On the other side, Christian, are you living conformed to the world? I need to say it. That's me. I need to get that taken care of this morning. Maybe it's just a commitment again. I need to continue to have my mind thinking on what is true, what is right. I am transformed. I need to live in that. Would you bow with me for prayer this morning? I know we've looked at a lot of things. In a moment, the pianist is going to play Near to the Heart of God, Psalm 480. And I want to challenge you this morning. If you are a child of God, you realize I've been far more molded by this world than I thought I was. And I need to deal with that this morning. You may want to come and just take a moment and pray here. If I or one of the deacons can be an encouragement to you, we'd love to pray with you as well. But you may just want to take some time privately this morning to say, God, I've been living carnally, and I've been living molded by this world, and I don't have to. The reality is I'm transformed. It's good for us to say that and to maybe make a decision about that this morning. Maybe you're here and you say, I just want to make the commitment again to be constantly renewed in my thinking that I am transformed and that I would live out the will of God. I would have His Holy Spirit be the one I'm yielding to in every decision, in every thought, so that my actions would be pleasing to God. Maybe that's a decision this morning for you. If you're not saved, if you realize I'm not a child of God and I need to trust Christ, I'm going to encourage you to do that right there where you sit. Simply admit to the Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. And You, God, gave Christ to die for me. And I'm trusting what Christ did to save me and to make me right with You. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You call on Him to save you. He promises He will. You can know that today. We'd love to talk with you about that if that's a decision you're making. Maybe there's some other decision. Maybe you've trusted Christ, but you've not shared that with anyone else. I'm going to encourage you perhaps to come and publicly share. You know what? I've trusted Christ. I want to walk in Him. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to make some other decision this morning. You come as others come. Would you stand with me? Father, please work in this time of invitation, we pray.